السلام عليكم ورحمة الله شيخ سالم.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
كيف حالك شيخ؟
الحمد لله.
الحمد لله. Ready when you are إن شاء الله. إن شاء الله let's begin. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله. الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن ولا وبعد. Brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته and welcome to our weekly Dars of Masail al-Jahliya delivered by Honorable Sheikh Sheikh Salim al-Amri. I will pass the mic and the screen to the Sheikh and the Sheikh can begin inshallah. في اليتفضل المشكورة شيخنا الشيخ سالم العمري.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. إنه من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, today is our weekly class, Masail al-Jahiliyyah, the issues of Jahiliyyah. And Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahab, rahimahullah, is taking us through some of these issues of Jahiliyyah that Islam refuted and addressed. So the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, says, إِذَا عُرِفَ هَذَا وَأَنَّ مَا عَلَيْهِ أَهْلُ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ مَذْمُومٌ إلا ما وافق الشرع، فالواجب على كل مسلم معرفة ذلك لئلا يقع فيه وهو لا يشعر. وقد جمعت أشياء من ذلك وهي عامة لأهل الجاهلية من أهل الكتاب وغيرهم. So the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala is telling us here, once this issue, this important matter, becomes clear to every Muslim, the issue of Jahiliyyah, that's why we had lengthy introduction to clarify the concept of Jahiliyyah. So you should, so that you are aware and cautious, so you don't fall into Jahiliyyah without knowing. Because the reality, the fact is that many Muslims, they fall into Jahiliyyah without knowing. They are leading Jahili lifestyle without knowing. Because ignorance is so rampant among the Muslims. There is religious illiteracy. They are illiterate when it comes to their deen, though they are PhD holders. But when it comes to the deen, they are jahil, illiterate. And their jahil is murakkab. Their ignorance is compound, not even simple one. Because had their ignorance been simple ignorance, that would be easy to address. But to address a compound ignorance, someone who doesn't know that he doesn't know, this is the dilemma, and this is the plight, and this is the problem. And that is why Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab He said, I fear most for what I fear most for the Muslims, that the generations will come who did not know the Jahiliyyah, did not experience the Jahiliyyah, then they will not appreciate the blessing of Islam. And the handholds of Islam will be untied one after the other. When such generations, they grow up knowing nothing about Jahiliyyah, so they fall into it. And it might allure them and attract them as it is happening. إذا عرف هذا, so this is very important issue and matter to be known to every Muslim, that you know, because if you know the Jahiliyyah, then you know what and appreciate what Islam is giving you and what Allah has provided for you. You will appreciate that. But now, many Muslims, they are admiring the Jahiliyyah. They are coveting for Jahiliyyah. They are breathless to run after Jahiliyyah, because they did not realize the ugliness and the reality of Jahiliyyah and the blessing of Islam. إذا عرف هذا, because you see, my dear brothers and sisters, let us open our eyes. Who today, who is on earth today, worships Allah correctly, as Allah wants to be worshipped? Who? Who are they? You will never find except the Muslims. Except the Muslims are the ones who are worshipping Allah and singling him out and testify to his oneness and believe in the pure monotheism. Only the Muslims. This is the fact. So Islam is the greatest blessing Allah has given us and bestowed upon us. So we have to be grateful to Allah and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and appreciate this gift that he has given us and guided us to this beautiful way of life, the deen of Islam. إذا عرف هذا, once this important matter becomes clear, understood by every Muslim, وأن ما عليه أهل الجاهلية مذموم إلا ما وافق الشرع. Once you realize this fact, that whatever the people of Jahiliya are upon is blameworthy. Whatever they are upon is blameworthy. مذموم. إلا ما وافق الشرع. Except what agrees and complies with the Islamic law. So we have the criterion, the yardstick, the standard. We know what we can accept, what we can reject. We sift things. We don't accept anything that comes from the Jahiliyyah. We pick and choose what is correct and what is acceptable. Take the technology, that's fine. The methods of research, scientific research, that's acceptable. Because actually, if we accept the technology, that is just what we have given them before. And they developed it. And we slept for a while. And now we try to wake up. So we can also do the same thing and accept it and learn and develop it. That's fine. But we don't accept the ways that are leading to destruction. We don't accept immorality. We don't accept their ideologies, that is secularism, democracy, capitalism, communism, any ism. We don't accept that. Why we don't accept? Because we abide by a system far better than that, than what they have. A system free of any flaws and defects. This system we refer to is divine. Divine guidance came from above. It's not the product of human beings. It is this law or this system has been sent for the guidance of mankind. So we have. So we don't need any other ism. Because Islam addresses all aspects of life. Pick any book in the fiqh or hadith and have a quick glance at the index, the content, and see. Is there anything missing in your life that Islam doesn't address? Go. What do you want? So that's why whatever they are upon is blameworthy, except what complies with the Islamic law. So we do not accept anything. You know, my dear brothers and sisters, in the 19th and 20th centuries, where Muslim lands were colonized and under the rules of the colonizers, the imperialists and the imperial powers. There, some thinkers started to think, how can we revive this ummah? How can we revive our ummah? So they said, many of them, the best way is to just emulate the West and whatever they are doing. So we have to take everything from them, everything, no exception. And they started sending the smartest and the most intelligent students. And they came back brainwashed totally and they became advocates for the Western ideas and Western thoughts without filtering and taking what is good and leaving what is bad. So in Islam, we take what is good and leave what is bad. We don't accept anything. So whatever the modern jahiliyyah is upon, we don't accept. Unless and until that particular thing that we are going to accept complies with the Islamic law. That's what the Sheikh is saying. وَأَنَّمَا عَلَيْهِ أَهْلُ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ مَذْمُومٌ blameworthy, whatever. The policies, the systems, whatever they are upon. It is blameworthy unless and until it complies, which is any human being will not argue about it. Okay? Like the technology, no one will argue because technology is the project of human rational efforts and human thinking, and is the result that of the experimentation and series of scientific research. So these are the projects that were yielded in laboratories. إِلَّا مَا وَافَقَ الشَّرْعَ فَالْوَاجِبُ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. Now it is incumbent upon every Muslim مَعْرِفَةُ ذَلِكَ, to know the jahiliyyah and its reality. And you don't accept everything. You should be in a position to filter. This can be accepted, this cannot be. You should not accept it. Because the early Muslims, okay, they learned from other, the good things that were present in other civilizations. But they didn't take everything because they had the yardstick and the criteria. So they put everything and measure everything according to that yardstick and standard. So the things that are beneficial, they accepted and they adopted, like the rules of administrations, ministries. That's fine. Certain things used in warfare techniques, they use. For example, the Prophet ﷺ, he accepted from Salman the idea to dig a trench that was not known to the Arabs. But the Persians, okay, their armies, they are using that technique. So they make trenches around cities and to hinder the progress of the attack of the enemy. So the Prophet ﷺ, he accepted the idea. He didn't say this is, this is what the Persians are doing, we should not do. No, but this is something because we have yardstick. So this is something helpful, means tools helpful can be used. And that's exactly what happened. And they started, you know, digging the trench around Medina, which stopped Quraysh from attacking the Muslims. And Quraysh were taken aback. They were surprised. What is this? They are not used to have such tensions. So that is okay. So to learn the good things, that's acceptable. That's why the Sheikh said, إِلَّا مَوَافَقَ الشَّرْعِ. As long as it agrees, complies with the shara, with the law, with the spirit of the Islamic law, we accept that. But we don't accept anything that goes against our belief about the fundamentals. Accepting, for example, the Darwin theory that man developed, we are a product of a series of development. Who said that? So don't accept them, because that's not scientific. That's not scientific. Especially when it comes to the human being. Adam was created, okay, by Allah. So he's not a product of a series of development. Allah created him. So to come to me and you want me to accept that, sorry, that goes against my belief. That a human being is a human being. He's not, he didn't evolve from a series of the other animals. Okay? As they want us to believe. Because what they want is to deny their objective, and is to deny the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no creator. So life just developed in monocell and developed, and then from things became complex, etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ما أشهدتهم خلق السماوات والأرض ولا خلق أنفسهم وما كنت متخذ المضلين عضدين. All this nonsense you are talking. I didn't make them to witness the creation of the heaven and the earth. So how they can talk about the creation of the heavens and the earth when they didn't see it? So they are speculating and they are guessing. Allah saying, Mashatum, I didn't make them to witness the creation of the heavens and the earth. Neither the creation of the heavens and the earth, nor the creation of themselves. And they were not going to take the misguided as supporters and helpers for me. That's what Allah said. So we should know what to accept and what to reject. Okay? There are scientific facts. Animals, they adapt according to their environment. Have no issue with that. Animals can adapt, yes. Allah gave them the ability to adapt themselves to their environment. No issue. Animals, they adapt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us as human beings able to adapt to different circumstances. This body will acclimatize itself to new environments. Though if you just ponder upon our complexion, the skins and the features, the nostrils and the eyes, You see the wisdom of Allah. If you are living in an area which is high above the sea level, the oxygen will be less, so the nostrils will be wider to take more oxygen. If you are living in cold places, noses, nostrils are small, and the eyes are small. So that because the reflect of the ice and the snow will not affect your eyes. So Allah created us to be able to survive in such harsh environments. But we are not a product of evolution. Our father Adam was created in one go. Allah created him. And we are his progeny, his offspring. We are his offspring. And the like. So we don't accept anything without checking it according to the yardstick we have. This can be accepted. This cannot be accepted. You see, things that are facts, proven experimentally in laboratories, you will not find them contradicted with the Islamic teachings. You will not find a challenge. You will not find. But assumptions, theories, hypotheses, yes, it's a theory. How many theories being refuted? Don't you know now they are when after the discovery and of the quantum physics, saying the Newtonian, physics is not that accurate. And the laws of Isaac Newton are not that accurate. They can work in certain places, within the mechanics we know, but when it comes to the quantum, no, it doesn't work. It's totally different. Al-wajibu, the Sheikh is saying. So this is very important point to keep in mind, my dear brothers and sisters. Al-wajibu ala kulli Muslim ma'rifa dhalik. You need to know the jahiliya so that you don't fall, unknowingly into jahiliya. And you should be able to choose and take what is acceptable and leave what is not acceptable. وَقَدْ جَمَعْتُ أَشْيَاءَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. So the Sheikh is saying, I have compiled for you, compiled for you some of these issues of jahiliya. And they are generic and they are general. وَهِيَ عَامَّ لِأَهْلِ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. For all people of jahiliya, whether they are from the people of the scripture, this jahiliya belongs to the people of the scripture, or other nations. And then he said, فَالضِدُّ يُظْهِرُ حُسْنَهُ الضِدُّ وَبِضِدِّهَا تَتَبَيَّنِ الْأَشْيَاءُ. This is a poetic verse that to know the beauty of the opposite, you have something, and you want to realize its beauty, you have to compare it to its opposite. Because it's only the opposite will manifest and show the beauty of this particular item you have. So the opposite will manifest the beauty of its opposite. For example, how can you appreciate health without sickness? So what will manifest the beauty of health except sickness, illness? So now you know the value of being healthy when you fall sick. How will you know the beauty of the day without the darkness of the night? Because now the darkness of the night shows the beauty of the day. So the opposite shows the beauty of its opposite, of its counterpart. When there is contrast, then you appreciate. So how can you know and appreciate the beauty of Islam without the opposite? And the Jahiliyyah is the opposite. So if you know the Jahiliyyah, then you appreciate Islam. See, my dear sisters, those who they want to leave the hijab and wear their bikini and g-strings, huh? Because you don't know the Jahiliyyah. So you don't appreciate Islam. You don't want to wear the hijab. Why you don't want to wear your hijab? Because you don't appreciate it, and you don't appreciate what Islam has given you. So you want to go, okay, and do what the people of Jahiliyyah are doing, and you want to go into misery, to experience misery, and start suffering psychologically, and being used by your enemies, and you lose your faith, you lose your iman, you lose your deen, because you don't appreciate. Had you studied and known the Jahiliyyah, you would never yearn and covet to go into Jahiliyyah. Because they are themselves suffering. The women in the West are suffering. And they envy you. And they envy what Islam has given you. And that's why those women who were objective and searching when they studied Islam, they had to accept it because Islam has given them everything. No need for them to ask for their rights. Islam has given them their rights, But you, grown up in Islam, you don't appreciate this blessing. You don't appreciate this. And you lend your ears to others who tell you, come, leave this deen. You are free. Enjoy your life, etc. Because they want to take you away from taking you from the light into the darkness. That's what they want. That's what the shaitan is working to take the people from the hidayah, from being in this environment which is full of light, into a dark spot. بتاعك قاهر. الضد يظهر حسنه الضد. You appreciate the blessing of Islam when you see the opposite. And you see how people are suffering. How's the family in the West? How's it? Gone. The family is gone. And that's why they envy the Orient and the East, because still there is this concept of family. You know, in the last, the Mondial, the World Cup in Qatar, many people were impressed when they saw families. One of them commented, journalists, he said, when are we going to see that? Families, mothers, the players with their mothers, we lost that. You don't see your mother. Maybe in Christmas you see her, that's it. Or on the Mother's Day. They lost everything. So what do you envy them for? What can they offer you? Nothing. فَالضِّدُّ يُظْهِرُ حُسْنَهُ الضِّدُّ. The opposite manifests and shows the beauty of its opposite. وَبِضِدِّهَا تَتَبَيَّنُ الْأَشْيَاءُ. Then he said, rahimahullah, فَأَهَمُّ مَا فِيهَا وَأَشَدُّهَا خَطَرًا عدم إيمان القلب بما جاء به الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. So he's now talking about these issues of jahiliyyah. He is going to take us through them. فأهم ما فيها. The most important of these issues and aspects of jahiliyyah. وأشدها خطرا. And the most dangerous one and most severe in terms of danger. أشدها خطرا. What really can be considered a real threat and danger, عدم إيمان القلب. This is now the core issue of jahiliyyah. Iman. Contemporary modern jahiliyyah, iman is not there. It's void. There is void, vacuum in the current jahiliyyah. There is vacuum, no iman, no connection with the Creator, because it is a material civilization. Everything about material. This body, that's it. So the whole philosophy revolves around this body. Enjoy your life. Have fun. Okay? Show your beauty. All this. Read about this flesh, about the flesh. Only the flesh. Desires of the flesh. Nothing more than that. The soul, no room for it. No room for it. So that's why people are suffering. Their misery is so intensive and so severe. They don't know what to do, how. Everyone is breathless, running after to have happiness, to feel happy. But they don't. they don't get that happiness. Because happiness is not in money, it's not in womanizing, it's not in drinking alcohol, it's not in drugs, and not in anything. You'll not find it there. Not find the happiness there. Yeah, you will have momentary pleasure, that's it. But then your misery will be intensified and increased. Yeah, you had happy moments, few hours, right? On the weekends, yeah, I went to the pub and to the nightclub and all that stuff. But then Monday, you have to go back to duty. Your misery is there. Your problems are there. Despair is there. Sadness is there. Sorrow is there. Depression is there. Everything. So the happiness is not there. Because it's not in these things, material stuff. No, no. Because the human being is not a robot. That's what they want. They want to make you a robot, a machine. Machine, that's it. You're working mechanically, like a robot, like a machine. And now they want to program you like a machine. And now they want to put some chips in your body so they can interfere and plant some chips in your mind, in your brain, so they can play with you remotely. So the human being is not a robot. The human being is this material part, the body, and something mysterious to us, we don't know about it, which is the soul. The soul. So this spirit and soul, which Allah kept it secret to, Himself. We don't know anything about it, but Allah knows. So a human being is both body and spirit. Current jahiliya, modern jahiliya, focusing on the body, neglecting the soul. And the soul is crying, and that's why you feel this spiritual vacuum. Inside you, holiness, you don't know what to feel, how to feel it. You are missing something. Because what will quench that yearning of the soul is the connection with its creator. That's it. That's why once you connect to your creator, come back to your creator, you feel now things have started to become balanced. And that is the beauty of Islam. It strikes the balance between the soul and the body. Balance. We don't neglect the body totally, like in other philosophies. They are saying that this body needs to be tortured. You have to torture this body. Okay? By piercing it with needles, burn it on hot embers, torture the body so that the soul will be liberated. So they consider the body is a prison for the soul. So they have to torture the body. So this is one extreme. Another extreme, neglecting the body and focusing only on the soul. And that is mysticism. And they ignore the body. Say the soul is the most important thing. Because if the soul is, the body is sick, this also will affect the soul. And Islam is in the middle, strikes the balance, telling us take care of the body and the soul as well. And the soul as well. That's why the beauty of Islam, Prophet ﷺ is saying, O servants of Allah, seek medication. But there is no sickness, no disease without cure, except one sickness or one disease, and that is old age. There is no cure for it. Anything else, there is a cure for it. So we are commanded to seek medication and to take care of our bodies. And to feed our bodies reasonably, moderately. So much so that if you are starving and you didn't have food and you didn't find food except a carcass, dead animal, then it becomes halal for you to eat from it in order to survive. So eating the flesh of the carcass to sustain the body. So you don't ignore the body. That's why, you know, the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when a group of the Sahaba, a group came to the household of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to the wives of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and they asked the Prophet, the wives of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, about what are the special things the Prophet does at home, the ibadah, the special righteous deeds and acts of worship. So they told them, he sleeps, he gets up and prays, everything is normal. So the Sahaba, when they were told that, they said, okay, this is the Prophet of Allah, all his sins are forgiven, so a little from him is enough. But we have to do more than him, more than the Prophet. So one of them said, I will pray the whole night. Another one said, I will fast all the days. During the days I will be fasting. Another one said, I will castrate myself so that I will not have feeling for women. So the news reached the Prophet ﷺ. So immediately he called for a meeting in the masjid. And he addressed the Sahaba. And he told them, what's wrong with some of you? I fear Allah more than any one of you. No one of you can fear Allah more than myself. Yet, I sleep and I pray. I go to bed to take rest because this body needs to take rest. I fast and I break my fast. And I marry women. And whoever is not satisfied with my way is not from me. Prophet ﷺ was so tough here with them. Why? Because he realized this is the seed of ghulu. So it has to be eradicated, it has to be removed. It has to be nipped in the bud, as they say, before it becomes a plant and grows and becomes a tree of extremism or ghulu. Imagine people are the whole night praying. What will happen during the day? They will sleep. So what will happen to the to their livelihood? If everyone is asleep. And this is what happens in Ramadan, right? Ignorant Muslims. The whole night, Taraweeh, Qiyam, in the morning he's asleep. Or if he goes to the office, he's nodding, asleep. He's working in a ministry. Okay, customer comes, a client comes to finish paperwork, he's nodding, he's sleeping, and he is not in the mood to talk to anyone. And he will say, Ramadan Kareem, Ramadan Kareem, which means go, go. Which means Ramadan is the month of sleep and laziness. Who said that? Who said that? Oh, you, the whole night you are praying nafil and tahajjud tatawwa, and you miss the fajr prayer. You miss the fard, which is more important. So the Prophet ﷺ realized that this now is the beginning of ghulu. So I have to put an end for it. Or if everyone refrains from getting married, what will happen? What will happen to the human race? What will happen to the women if no men to marry them? Corruption, facade. That's why he said, I marry women. So if you don't like my way, you're not for me. I fast and I break my fast. So my dear brothers, Islam striking the balance. Striking the balance between the body and the soul. The material civilization focusing only on the body, neglecting the soul. And a human being is not a robot. The most complex being you will be dealing with is the human being. Because you are not dealing with the machine. You deal with the human being, complex, very complex. Feelings, moods, fluctuating moods. So you should know how to deal with the people, especially if you are a manager. You should know that you come across different types of people. They're not the same. Everyone is unique. So a human being is totally different. We have to keep that in mind. So that's why the Sheikh is saying, فَأَهَمُّ مَا فِيهَا وَأَشَدُّهَا خَطَرًا عَدَمْ إِيمَانَ الْقَلْبِ. The most important aspect of the Jahiliyyah, and which is a most dangerous one, is the absence of faith when there is no Iman. You see, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Iman is something mandatory. It has to be there. You have to have faith. Without faith, you will not function. You will not function. If you don't believe, for example, that fire burns, you will not run away when the fire breaks. So you have to believe, oh, fire, okay? Oh, alarm, I have to evacuate, I have to leave the building. And I should not use the elevator, I have to go by stairs. So I have to believe, because fire is there, and the fire will burn me. If you don't believe that the poison will kill you, you will drink it. But you know it is fatal, you will abstain because you believe, oh, this is fatal, it will kill me. If you don't believe that the food will satisfy and remove the pangs of hunger, you will not eat, but because you know, you believe. You believe that when I am hungry, starving, I have to eat. So that's why when you are hungry, you get up from sleep hungry, you run to the kitchen and you open the fridge and grab something. If you don't believe that the water will quench your thirst, you will not drink it, but because you believe. So when you are thirsty, you quench your thirst by water. So the belief is there, something inherent. You cannot say, I can survive without belief. You have to have the belief. And you have to have the belief in the one who brought you into being, the one who created you, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who created everything. Because once you have that belief, now there is balance. The soul is connected, and that's why the ibadah. What is the food of the heart and the soul is the ibadah, the worship, the dhikr, istighfar. That is the life of the heart. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Verily, in Allah's remembrance, the heart finds serenity, calmness. If you have depression and you feel sad, start the dhikr and see what will happen. You will feel someone is removing that burden and heaviness. And you feel as your chest is open, something removed. You feel the relief because you communicated with the healer. Who is the healer? The healer is Allah. وَإِذَا مَرَضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينِ. He's my healer. So my healer, I'm communicating with him. So he checks me. That's why the five prayers are daily checks. Daily checks. We are checked five times a day, minimum, by the healer. We stand before him in the prayers. What he does to us, we don't know. But what we know, when we come out from the salah, we are different. Happy. Things before the salah gone. We are active. What happened? We have been checked. Five times a day minimum, you are checked by the one who created you. That's why the Prophet ﷺ used to tell Bilal, Arihna biha, ya Bilal. Arihna biha. Start the salah, Bilal. So we will have a moment of relaxation in the salah. Kana idha hasabahu amr, fazi'a ila salah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever there was difficult circumstances, hardships, he would run and rush to the salah. Communicate, stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the life for the heart. The ibadah. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. In the remembrance of Allah, the hearts, they find this peace and serenity. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, الذكر للقلب الذكر للقلب كالماء للسمك. The importance of dhikr for the heart, just like the importance of water for fish. Take the fish out of water, it will die. Remove the dhikr from your life, the heart will die. You want your heart to remain alive, be engaged in the dhikr. And he used, rahimahullah ta'ala, to sit after fajr in the masjid until noon. Just in dhikr, Ibn Taymiyyah, this is Ibn Taymiyyah, dhikr. And one day, when he finished, he saw his students next to him, Ibn al-Qayyim. And he told him, this sitting is my sustenance. my food. That's how I survive. This spiritual dose, that's how I survive. If I leave it, I will die. If I leave this, I will die. That's why he said, when they put him in jail, he said, what are you doing to me? If you deport me from the country to another country, I'll become a tourist traveling in Allah's land and pondering and contemplating on Allah's creation. If you kill me, I'll be a martyr. If you imprison me, I will have privacy and privacy with my Lord. Don't do anything to me. Then he told them, Inna jannati fi sadri, my Jannah is in my heart. What Jannah he was talking about? This Jannah of delightfulness, contentment, happiness, serenity. It is with him. And then he said, the real captive, al-asiru man asarahu hawa. The real captive is the one who is kidnapped by following his whims and desires. That is the real captive. And the real prisoner is the one whose tongue has been held from the dhikr and deprived of the dhikr. That is real prisoner. So the dhikr, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. That's why the Sheikh said, فَهَمَّ فِيهَا وَشَدُّهَا خَطَرًا. The main aspect of the jahiliyyah is that lack of iman, absence of the faith, iman in the heart. And lack of faith in what the Messenger of Allah came with. Today, some Muslims, they don't want to follow what the Prophet ﷺ came with. And they don't know what the Prophet ﷺ came with. They don't know what the Prophet ﷺ came with. Then he said, فَإِنِ مُضَافَ إِلَى ذَلِكَ اسْتِحْسَانُ مَا عَلَيْهِ أَهْلُ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ تَمَّتُ الْخَسَارَةُ كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْبَاطِلِ وَكَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ سُورَةَ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ آيَةَ 52. So what the Shaykh is saying, فَإِنْ إِنْضَافَ إِلَى ذَلِكَ. And if you add to what had been said, besides what had been said, that you approve of what the people of days of Jahiliyyah, and you admire what the people of Jahiliyyah are upon, istihsan ma'aliha ahl al-Jahiliyyah. Now this is adding insult to injury. No iman, no faith, and then you admire and you accept and like what the people of Jahiliyyah are upon, then this will ruin you totally. This will lead to a total destruction, total ruin. You will achieve that inevitably. فَإِنْ اِنْضَافَ إِلَى ذَلِكَ اِسْتِحْسَانُ مَا عَلَيْهِ, adding to what had been said, your approval of what the people of the Jahiliyyah are practicing and doing, istihsan, you admire what the people of Jahiliyyah are doing, قمة الخسارة. Then this will, it will culminate your misery with this great loss. This will top it. Great loss. كما قال تعالى والذين آمنوا بالباطل وكفروا بالله أولئك هم الخاسرون لا إله إلا الله. And those who believe in falsehood while disbelieving in Allah, it is they who are the losers. No doubt they are the losers. Losers in dunya and akhirah. Losers in dunya, this world and in the next life. In this life, they are suffering misery. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِ Whoever shun, turn away from my remembrance, from being cautious about me, mindful about me. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِ فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنكًا. Most certainly, this is a miserable life. Miserable life for him. Narrow life. You can't breathe. You feel as if you are breathing through the eye of the needle. Depression. Problems. Despair. You don't know. All ills you have. Because you shun, you disconnected the soul from communicating with its creator. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْبَاطِلِ Those who believe in falsehood. Batil. Anything. Other than Allah is batil. All kufr is batil. That's why we say the meaning of La ilaha illallah, La ma'buda bihaq illallah. There's no one worthy of worship but Allah. Any other deity, it is batil. ذلك بأن الله هو الحق وأن ما يدعون من دونه هو الباطل. أن الله هو العلي حق الله. Allah is the Haqq. Anything they call upon, any deity they worship, any object they worship, it is false. Batil, falsehood. Kufr, all types, all philosophies, all systems, all isms, batil. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْبَاطِلِ And those who believe in batil, in falsehood, وَكَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ And they disbelieve in Allah. This is the jahiliyyah, the contemporary modern jahiliyyah. They believe in the batil and they disbelieve in Allah. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ It is they who are the losers. They are losers. They don't know how to enjoy this life and how to feel happy in this life. They are suffering. Miserable life. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِ Whoever turns away from my dhikr, from being mindful, from remembering me, etc. إِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنكًا For sure, he will have a life full of dhanak, misery, narrowness, problems, name it. مَعِيشَةً ضَنكًا Miserable life. And what else? وَنَحْشُرْهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى And he will be resurrected on the day of resurrection blind. Blind. أَلَا رَبِّي لِمَا حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى Oh my Lord, why did you resurrect me and raise me blind? He said, كَذَلِكَ أَتَتْكَ آيَاتُكَ فَنَسِيتَهَا وَكَذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَى Thus my ayat, my warnings, my messages, my Prophets, messengers came to you. You rejected. You rejected them. The ayat came to you. So today you will be neglected and you will be ignored. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from going astray. May Allah save us from all types of jahiliyyah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us remain steadfast on this beautiful deen until we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and find him pleased with all of us. Ameen. May Allah forgive us our faults and mistakes and ignorance. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the beneficent knowledge of righteous deeds. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide our ummah to the haqq and unite our hearts in the haqq. And may Allah reward all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, immensely for your patience and attendance. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullahu khaira. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Apologies, it seems the host wasn't able to make it back. With your permission, can we begin the question and answer session?
Yes, inshallah. And the questions should be short and to the point.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. May Allah reward you with goodness. Ameen. Okay, my question is, I'll finish this question. The hostess came back. My question is, can a man divorce his wife by text message?
The answer to divorce, if one wants to divorce his wife, it should be oral and she should hear it, because sending a text message, it can be forged. Someone can send any text message, okay? It can be intercepted, many things. So if one wants to divorce, he should follow the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us, that he has to wait for her to get her period. And then when she is clean, that is the time where he can divorce her. This is how. You cannot divorce your wife if she is having her menstrual cycle, or that after her menstrual cycle, you slept with her. I hope this is clear to the questioner. Next.
Assalamu alaikum, inshallah, it is clear, Sheikh. Okay, the next question. Sheikh, if corruption and facade is the result of not becoming married, then what of a nation where zina is widespread?
What is what?
Then what of a nation where zina is widespread?
A nation that zina is widespread?
Yes, Sheikh.
Allah al-Musta'an. Because if this fahisha, zina, if you read history and how things collapse on civilizations, okay, that is the beginning of the fall, of decline. Because of this fahisha, okay, which means sex and zina, adultery, fornication is widespread, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, anger falls on the people and he destroys them. So that's why the Prophet ﷺ, he warned us and he told us to get our children married and our daughters married when there is a good and right suitable partner proposes. Otherwise, it will lead to corruption because the girl has feelings and her father is preventing her from getting married. Because she is earning, unfortunately, this is in some Muslim families, that is the reason, because he is working, so she is generating income for them. So if he gets married, that income will not be there. So that's why selfish, they are selfish, they don't want her to get married. Then she will fall into haram because she has feelings. Because that is the beauty of Islam, did not ignore these biological needs and feelings, tendency towards the opposite sex. That's why there is no room in Islam for celibacy. Okay. Because you see, if you study the history of the church, okay, especially the Roman Catholic, where the priests are not allowed to get married. Though it is not there, the ruling that is not there in Christianity. This is a bid'ah they invented. So you deprive the priests from getting married and the nuns. So what will happen to their feelings? It's natural. You cannot suppress that urge and that desire. Cannot. Cannot. So Islam said, no, that feeling, that desire, Allah put it in us so that we can get married. And he put this tendency that we incline towards the opposite sex. But Islam put it in the right channel. There is a proper way for it to vent that pressure and that desire, satisfy it in the halal, the marriage. It has to come out either in the lawful manner or unlawful manner. There's no other way. Lawful manner is the marriage. Unlawful is the zina, adultery, fornication. So parents, they have to fear Allah and get their children, both sons and daughters, married as soon as possible. As soon as possible. Should not delay their marriage at all. Otherwise, this will lead to fitna, to moral corruption, to zina. I hope this is clear to the question.
Inshallah, it is clear. Sheikh, we go to the next question. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Is it considered as hijrah if one moves to a secular country, for example, from UK to Turkey?
Alhamdulillah, this is good because you are moving to a Muslim country and you will be living among the Muslims and you will be having at least control to a certain extent on your children, and you can live in places where the majority are practicing Muslims. It's better than living now, because you know now what is going on and what they are going to do to the children in KG1 and KG2. So you have to save your family and save your children. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum naran wa qudaha an-nasu wal hijara. عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد. So this fire, Allah is saying, save your family from the fire. You want to lose your children? What excuse are you going to have before Allah when your children, they become non-Muslims and they leave Islam? Though you could have escaped and run away with them and saved them from the kufr, yet you decided to stay to enjoy the material life, and you are the complacency and the easygoing life,
at the cost of losing your children? What excuse are you going to say and give to Allah when your children become non-Muslims? So parents, that the Muslim parents who are in the West, they have to keep this in mind. The most important thing is my deen. Once your deen is at stake, you are going to lose your deen, you're going to lose your children. You have no excuse to stay, no excuse. May Allah make it easy for you and may Allah protect all of you. Ameen. I hope this is clear to the
Inshallah, it was clear, Sheikh. We go to the next question. The next question is, sometimes when you can see the traits of a munafiq referring to the ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, how do we approach this situation if those people are your own family members? And you're concerned about their akhirah and the disobedience of Allah that openly happening and fear Allah's wrath upon the family, including yourself, when you're trying to stop the wrongdoing but suffer abuse. What are some good... that's another question, Sheikh. Next question.
First of all, I want the questioner to differentiate between the two types of nifaq. We talked about this. I hope that you were present. You were not present, go and listen to it. So hypocrisy or nifaq, two types. One type is nifaq i'tiqad. This is the hypocrisy related to the belief. And this takes one out of Islam. And that is basically that you pretend to be a Muslim and you are not. And this is, you'll not find a Muslim like that. So this is ruled out. So I'm sure your family, they believe in Allah and they believe in, but they are sinners. They commit some sins, not kufr. Then the other type of nifaq, which is the hypocrisy of practice. That certain, the practices are practices of a hypocrite. But this doesn't take a person out of Islam. And this is what is mentioned in the hadith, that the signs of a hypocrite are three. The hadith al-kadab, when he talks or he lies, the wa'ada akhla, and he promises, he breaks his promise, he or she, with atumina khan, if he is trusted, he is proven to be not trustworthy. So this type of hypocrisy doesn't take a person out of Islam. Keep this in mind. Now, many family members, they are far away, or some are a bit far from Allah's way and what Allah wants from them. And they are practicing some, committing some sins. Okay. So as a son or as a daughter, what should I do to my parents, my aunties, my uncles? First of all, I have to fear Allah to the best of my ability. I have to be a role model practicing Islam, so they see that I am an example. Then I keep making dua for them and also giving da'wah, talking to them one-to-one, not in gathering or addressing them or preaching them, no. Okay, you talk to your mother by yourself, alone, you talk to your father alone, you talk to your brother, to your sister, etc. And you keep on, and you should not despair. Allah is the one who guides, and Allah will guide if we are sincere. And well, this needs sabr, needs patience, and we have to be patient and get up at night, pray, cry, shed tears to Allah to guide them. May Allah guide all Muslims and all those Muslims who are sinning and who are displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah grant them sincere tawbah and hidayah. Ameen. Next.
I mean, the next question, Sheikh, what are some good recommended dhikr to recite for the evening and the morning?
The adhkar mentioned in the sunnah of the Prophet, so get to the, I always recommend Husn al-Muslim. You should be having this small booklet, the Husn al-Muslim, the citadel of the Muslim, or the Husn al-Muslim, which is full of the adhkar of the morning and the night, and the general adhkar in general. Small booklet, keep it always in your pocket, and memorize the adhkar from there, and the, take the one that has transliteration. Transliteration, if you don't know how to read Arabic, inshallah. Next.
The next question. The next is not a question, it's more of a request. Allah has blessed my family with a baby girl. Kindly pray for her, Sheikh, and those who are also looking towards Allah for the blessings of the womb. Jazakallah khair.
Inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make her pious, blessed child, and make her the eye, the apple of your eye. Amen. Next.
The next is, what is the meaning if somebody's dreams come true? Near every dream the night before comes true during the day.
Yeah, this is from Allah. This is Ru'ya Saliha, good. Okay, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us see things prior to their occurrence, before they happen. It happens. Okay, so part of this, of the dream, is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, and that is what is left. Nothing is left of the prophethood except the ru'ya saliha, the good dream. But if the dream is bad, is scary, you spit on your left side and you don't relate it and mention it to anyone. But this, yes, it happens. It can happen, yes. Because you see, the souls, they communicate. And the souls, every night, they go to Allah. And this world of the souls is mysterious to us. We don't know anything about it. Okay? And sometimes you might see something in the dream. And when you go to this place, you, oh, this place is familiar to me, as if you had been there, though you didn't have been there before. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes you see these things in your dreams. I hope this is clear to the question. Next.
Sheikh, that was the final question of tonight's session. If you'd like to conclude, inshallah.
Okay, barakallahu feekum, jazakumullah khair for your attendance, for your patience, for your commitment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you immensely, and may Allah azza wa jal bless you, bless your family, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate your status in this world and in Jannatul Na'im. Ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us remain steadfast on this beautiful deen till we meet Him and find Him pleased with all of us. Ameen. May Allah unite our Ummah in the Haqq. May Allah unite our hearts in the Haqq. May Allah forgive us our faults and mistakes and ignorance. Until we meet, inshallah, in the coming session, I leave you in Allah's company and protection. Bihifdhillahi wa ra'ayatihi. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair, Shaykh.